You are listening to The Monsters We Deserve by Marcus Sedgwick. Read by Alan Irving for Saga Egmont. W. And if you gaze long enough into an abyss, the abyss will gaze back into you. Who said that? Up here there are abysses, of all kinds. Up here. 5,000 feet of altitude, ringing chasms on every side, mountain torrents gushing icy waters through throats of rock, a white noise of oblivion, outrageously uncountable trees, witness to everything but mute. The air is thin, dry. Wait, do you see that comma? No, listen, do you see that comma? It's there for a reason. I didn't write, the air is thin and dry. I didn't write, the air is thin and dry. I wrote, the air is thin, dry. The comma is important. It's the single snatched breath, a moment of hanging in which you can hear my failing attempts to find the right way to explain all this.
So that's clear now?
Good. One clear thing. And these little things are important. Something as small as a comma could turn out to be significant, perhaps vital. And you know, at this altitude, it often takes your brain a twinkling of time to find the right word, to think lucidly. Yes, there are endless abysses up here, and no doubt there is something in their depths. So far, I have seen nothing. But maybe that's because I've been looking in the daytime. Nighttime, on the other hand, the night. The night is when monsters arrive. When monsters are made. But before we make anything, let me make one other thing understood. This will not be easy. It will not be straightforward. It will move in other ways, sideways and backways, ways we don't have words for. Something else. It has always struck me as a troubling that the words in books are printed in black and white, when life is anything but. The binary color of words on a page give the sense of simplicity and clarity. But life doesn't work like that, and neither should a good story. A good story ought to leave a little gray behind, I think. I can't help any of this. But I undertake to do my best to set things down as well as I can. And, after all, it seems that I am expected to. You expect me to. Once more, I have to rummage through the paint boxes and toolkits of my imagination in order to conjure up some horror or other. And, as you know, I have been unable to find anything of interest to work with. And yet, there is so much to choose from. So many monsters. I might think of Grendel, slain by Beowulf, who likewise dispatched Grendel's mother far beneath the surface of the sea. Or the twisted beast Caliban on his tempestuous island. Be not afeard, he said. Be not afeard. Be very afeard. There were 3 witches once in a desert place, inciting others to murder and malevolence. Lady Macbeth with blood on her hands. Fair is foul and foul is fair. Mr. Hyde, the monster in Dr. Jekyll. The ordinary secret sinner. The monster in all of us. The monster we all create ourselves. Count Dracula, the anti-hero many perhaps crave to be. Sexual and immortal. The blood is the life. So many monsters. Once they were as plentiful as berries in a pail, or blades of grass in the meadow, or the trees of an alpine forest. But are there fewer monsters than there used to be? A moment's thought, and I will give you my answer to that. Monsters lurk in every culture's lifeblood. The history of the world is as much the history of its monsters as its angels, and who is the more fascinating? Elizabeth Bathory and her blood-bathing, or Mother Teresa and her poor. Vlad Tepes and his impalings.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?